Well, I hope you have a great weekend. But before you head off to Slumberland or wherever you may go, we've got another hour to go of open lines for you right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, back to the phones. First-time caller line. Hi there. Thanks for holding.
Hi, George. I'm a first-time caller, and I've been listening to you for 4 years now, I think.
Well, thank you.
Coming up on 4 years. I wanted to tell you a story. I've been inclined to call before, but I just was a little nervous, and I am nervous right now. Nah. I wanted to tell you about experience I had with a time traveler.
All right.
In 96, my father was murdered. Someone came into his house and thinking he had a lot of money, and they stabbed him in various places in his body. It took him, it was about 90 days before he finally passed away. Between that time, my family was just pretty much ripped apart. My aunts and uncles and sisters and brothers were all confused, and they were angry at the guy, at the murderer. He got off the hook because my sisters came into the house and disturbed the evidence, and even though the police caught him, they had to let him go.
Oh, my God.
Evidence.
Well, cold-blooded killer. He's out on the loose.
Well, for some reason, I could not become angry, but all my family just was out of control. You're talking about lost it. They had lost it. Okay, during the time my dad was laying in the hospital, I came to see him one time, and he was unconscious all up until that time. When I came to see him, he opened his eyes for about 2 seconds, and it was like he said these words to me: "Release me from this indignity." And one of my sisters was standing in there and in the room with me. She was looking out of the hospital window, and it just blurted out of my mouth, "This is undignified." It just came out of my mouth spontaneous. My sisters thought that I was saying that it was beneath my dignity to be in there.
Ah.
So they weren't thinking straight.
Right, right.
Anyway, they took me off the hospital list. My father finally passed away. I didn't even go to the funeral because they were so hostile that, you know, I was literally afraid.
That's a shame.
Anyway, about a week after the funeral, I'm in the grocery store, and I'm standing in line, and I get this weird feeling behind me. I look behind me, George, and the guy who murdered my father is standing there. He's in total shock.
Right next to you.
Behind me.
He recognizes you,
yes, because I come from a large family and we have somewhat of a reputation. Anyway, in the blink of an eye, I swear this happened to me, in the blink of an eye while I'm standing there, I first see him in stark raving terror because he knows that my family is out to get him.
Yeah, yeah.
I look at him and I see through his body, and I see he's this brilliant, bright light, and a voice came out of this into my consciousness, and it said, "Behold God's creation. And if you forgive him, I'll show you some things." And the only thing I could do is to look at him, and this happened in a blink of an eye. I said, "I forgive you." And I turned around and walked away.
You're a bigger man than I. I'm not sure I could do that.
Well, let me tell you what happened. I was trying to give you the thumbnail sketch of this. By the way, I kept a journal of this, and I'm writing a book about it. Anyway, I understood something when I walked out of the store. I understood that at the God level, that we are manifesting everywhere all the time. And those who are time travelers or call themselves time travelers have mastered the ability to see the only part of time that is real, which is the present. You know, our minds, because we see in separate parts,
sure,
we can't see the present. And the past and the future are the same thing. So after that, I started having these series of visions periodically. But the one thing that I understood is that at the God level, the highest levels of mind, which we call God level, we manifest at all places, at all times, and that what we call murder is, and this is the hardest part to hear, is nothing more than an agreement between two. Those who come from what we call the future understand that as we grow and see in terms of oneness, that things like war and the killing and all those kind of things that's manifesting right now, they're going to just simply pass away because we will understand our connection, and that's the one thing that we don't understand. And this guy taught me that I'm going to show you. He didn't say this to me. It's just I had an understanding.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm going to show you that I'm telling you the truth. Within 30 days, he was dead. No one murdered him.
He just died.
He just died.
How old was he?
Well, I don't know how old he was.
Yes,
but he could have been much older than myself. I'm 38 right now.
So he's a young guy.
He was a young guy. But he didn't say this to me. See, remember, in the grocery store, it was only a split second. I had this knowledge when I walked out of the grocery store.
Do you think the power of your family did him in?
Well, see, now that...
Something happened.
I don't think... See, what we call death is nothing more... It's sort of like our bodies are tools. Like if I say raise your hand or nod your head, well, if you raise your hand, then it suggests that the hand belongs to you. So then the question becomes, who are you?
Yeah, and that's...
You're raising your hand.
And we really don't know that yet. It's frustrating.
We don't know who we are. So then even though my family's mind could have been projecting what they term death on him, There really is no such thing. It's more like if you're building a house and you have a hammer and you finish with the house, you put the hammer down and maybe go get yourself a screwdriver because you have to do another job.
How did you know he died?
Because I went into the neighborhood because my sisters had the house torn down and one of our longtime neighbors turned the area into a park. And if you've ever been to Detroit, you know it's a waste.
It's my hometown.
Yes. It's a wasteland right now. But just so happened, one of our neighbors that grew up with me turned the area into a park. He put benches in there, planted plants and all kinds
of things. Yeah, they're knocking down those old houses left and right now, aren't
they? Yes. Well, they had this one torn down. My family did. But the point is, I went back to the neighborhood, and the news came to me that, did you know that so-and-so dropped dead?
How did you feel when you heard that?
I felt like I knew this was happening because I didn't know it was happening, and I was like, wow. Now, let me tell you this one other thing. I started having a series of visions afterward. One day or one night, I was lying on my bed because at this knowledge, when I was in the store, it said, I'm going to show you a lot of things. I'm laying on my bed, and I woke up because someone shakes my legs. At the edge of my bed, when I kind of set up on my elbow and my hand, and there are these two pale beings sitting at the edge of my bed. I tell you the truth, I am not a kook, okay? I don't take any medicine. I'm a very logical man, but this happened. These two pale beings, they kind of reminded you of Laurel and Hardy. They were pale. They had no clothes on, no hair at all, any place on their body.
Typical alien grays.
Yeah, I guess you could call them gray. Yeah, because they were really pale. So I thought they looked funny, and I started laughing at them. And the fat one says, because it was skinny one and a fat one.
Fat one?
The fat one says, what are you laughing at? This is how you imagine we look. And so they, you know, sort of like the joke is on me. Then, as though we were continuing a conversation, the skinny one asked me, so tell me, what is the universe made of? And I said, music. And then I just had a instinct to begin to study physics.
Out of the blue.
Out of the blue.
So tell me, you're a physicist now.
Yes, I am. I graduated from the University of California, Irvine, in 2002.
I love that. I got to move on. I got to take a couple more. But in terms of forgiveness, that's the one thing I can do in a lot of cases, but not if they killed a family member. I just couldn't get over that. I'm sorry. That is just beyond me. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Good. This is Karen in Asheville, North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to tell you about how I used to induce out-of-body experiences as a young child.
How?
Well, I would lie in my bed and focus on the hall light. It was a dim light that was in the hall that was left burning all night. And I would focus on that, and I would see my hands tying an intricate series of knots in a rope. And I later learned that was from memories from one of my lifetimes that's relevant during this lifetime, which was as a Spanish adventuring pirate. Not a bad guy, just a kid that wanted adventure. Anyway, I would somersault out of my body over, you know, you just somersault out, the feet come out first, the head comes out last, and I would always go to the same place, which was like a castle portico with no windows in it, and there would always be this lady there who was pale white, and I knew she was a ghost that haunted that place.
But you were really in the place.
I went to see her every night, and she never noticed me. She was always looking out to sea, and she was very sad. She had committed suicide, had jumped from the tower, and she haunted that place. And
Did you ever see her jump?
In my mind, yes.
You did. Yeah.
But I was dead then, and that's why she jumped. So, but one night she noticed me, and then she went through the light, and I went back again, and I didn't see her anymore. But I have memories of three past lives that are relevant to this one. Two of them as male. One somewhere as a stone cutter. In like the ancient Holy Land somewhere, and one is a pirate, a Spanish young adventuring pirate, and the next one is a shaman of the Mohawk.
And of the three, which one did you like the best?
The shaman of the Mohawk.
Yeah, you like doing that. Okay, hey, thanks. Couple more moments to go, then we'll take a break and come back with final calls. The Lost It Line, you're on Coast to Coast.
Yes, sir, George. How you doing?
Good.
Most of the people that's talked about the Lost It Line has been violent and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, when I was 18, I was in a car wreck, just knocked out. That was it. No big, trauma. I get home. The next morning, I wake up, and I'm hearing voices. So after this, it started having like a series of events, and it procured itself into schizophrenia. From this car wreck.
From this wreck. The concussion? Did you have a concussion?
Yes, but back then, you know, we didn't have cell phones or anybody like, you know, call 911 and get the ambulance and just, like, take him home, okay?
Yeah.
Well, I've been at this for 32 years. I've been dealing with the different medications and stuff. And what I wanted to say about the feels like you're being lost is, like, you feel ashamed, you know? Because I have to take medication. I've withdrawn, you know, with those paranoid delusions when I first had it.
Over the years, you've been going deeper and deeper, huh?
Right, but now with this new medication and stuff, it kind of helps. But I just wanted people to know that, you know, you're not by yourself out there just because you. You know, like if you have you're hearing voices or anything, there is help out there for people.
You still hear the voices or they stop?
No. This was 32 years ago, George. So
they're all done, huh?
It's just sort of been like lost in space. I've been in like the state institutions that people now they want to go and, you know, check out for hauntings and stuff like that. I've been in some of those institutions and it was kind of a, you know, an ordeal.
Sounds like you got a pretty good handle on this now.
Yes, sir, and I've enjoyed your program for as long as you first came on, and I just wanted to let people know that just because you feel lost sometimes and you might have to be on meds, that you can still hold your head up and be a human being.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for the call.
Okay, George.
That's kind of enlightenment. Let's go to our wild card line. Hi there.
Hi, George. What a great show.
It's different tonight.
Yeah, you know
it's
what?
A different feeling.
I want to tell you something. I'm telling you the absolute truth. I've been on the wild card line on hold for like about 15 minutes, and I heard that lady that called in and said she heard another voice. I heard the other voice, and I heard her both. And I think she was on the wild card line, too.
She was, yeah.
Everything she said to you when she came on was absolutely truthful. And she was so hit off kilter by it that I think she forgot what she was going to ask you.
I know, because she never got to that.
It was a really weird, whispery, it could have been a ghost. She might have a ghost around her. Because I've heard ghosts before.
Of course, you heard it because you were on hold. But
I heard it. I somehow heard it like a party line. They couldn't hear me because I was going like, who are you people? And they couldn't hear me. I could hear her and I could hear him. And she was like, who are you? You know, like she was like, so if that woman's out there still listening, I want to just tell her that she was telling you the absolute truth.
Right. She was not pulling my leg.
No, she wasn't. And now I want to go on to what I was going to talk about.
Okay.
All these, you know, well-documented, you're like me, the underwater.
UFO. I love them.
I'm really kind of like, I've seen one and I'm.
You have?
Oh, yeah.
Underwater type?
Yeah. And chemtrails and shadow government and military secret operations that are suspicious. All these things, George, they can't be going on at the same time without them knowing about each other. This all has to be so interconnected.
Piece of a puzzle. It's a puzzle.
It has to be.
Yeah.
And here's what I think about the coming years. In 2011, it's a 4-year. So I think we're going to get knowledge of the underwater network of what's going on, which I just call UWN, the underwater network. I think that's what it is. And as far as the next year, because it's a 4-year, well, we're going to attain some sort of knowledge in that 4-year. And I think this one's really going to be a keen 4-year. And keep in mind when, you know, I almost hate to say it because your viewers probably don't want to hear this, but I really do think the numbers are pointing to, Senator Clinton being the next president. Keep in mind in 2009 is when that next president will take over, not 2008. And that's a 2-year.
Right.
And that's
right.
A peace year, a year of a peacemaker. So whoever gets in there, I think it's Clinton, because of the numbers and various other things. We could have peace in Iraq in that year, but the 2012, the celebration that Glynis was talking about the other night, year, and, you know, it coincidentally being the Mayan calendar year, me and my astrologer friend, Melanie Myers out here in Hollywood, Cortez was in the Mayans in the 1500s, and that's a long time ago. That's 500 years ago. What about this? What if the Mayan calendar just stopped because they just got tired of going into the future and they just decided to stop it
and
somewhere?
And that is a very real possibility, a very real possibility indeed. Well, we're going to take this break in just a moment. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. And please, this being Friday night, those of you who haven't sponsored a child yet through Children International, just go to our website. $22 a month, that is it. And I'd like to get as many people tonight, tomorrow, as we can. So take care of that for me. That's your project. Go ahead and do that. And I'll be back in just a moment. We'll take final phone calls for this week right here on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, let's take a few calls. Those of you who may have missed about a year or so ago, I interviewed Larry Haber, the attorney for the John Teeter time traveler family. I'm going to play a little snippet of that toward the end of the show since we talked about time travel tonight. Let's go to the phones. Wildcard Line, you're up with us. Hello there.
Hey, George.
Hi.
This is Randy in Southern Oregon.
Randy, what's new?
Well, I called to tell you that I can photograph UFOs at will. Anytime the sun is shining, every time I take my camera out, I get the same result.
Special camera?
Nope. Off the shelf. And I can do it with still cameras. I've done it with a Sony. I've done it with a little Kodak. And I have a Canon G2 that's the one that I've used for video. And I have over 5 hours of video that I've taken.
Man, you got to get us some of this, Randy. Can you see these with the naked eye?
Absolutely not.
You can't. Only after you take a picture. And what do they look like?
They're all different shapes and sizes. The predominant one really shocks me. And we're used to thinking of a flying saucer, like two plates stacked on top of each other.
Yeah.
if you turn that 90 degrees, most of these objects that I'm seeing are vertical shape, and they're spinning around the horizontal axis. I have a great shot of two of them side by side going very slowly, and you can see them spinning about that axis.
They look almost like a marquee diamond, that kind of shape, going up and down. You know how it's got point at both ends, but it is wider in the middle?
Weird looking thing, and they change shape. I had it completely zoomed in. It's got 100 to 1 digital zoom on the G2, and I had it totally zoomed in, and this craft came into the frame and made a 90-degree turn at high speed.
And you catch these all the time?
Anytime I take it's a technique, George, and while people are listening to this, I have two fellows in Italy that are doing the same thing. We connected through YouTube, and they get the same results, only their lens isn't as big as mine, and I would love to get with somebody with a bigger lens, and I can show them how to set it up so that we can get definitive proof even the government can't do.
Can you get us some of the photos?
I'd love to, but they won't accept them. I've emailed you, I've emailed Lex, I've emailed everybody on the email list, and I never get a response.
I've never seen any of these.
Well, I don't know what to tell you, George.
Send them tonight. I'll get them tomorrow morning.
Okay. I'd be happy to show you in person. You see this in person, you'll be a believer.
It's all right. Get them to us, and let's put your phone number in the email.
I'll do it.
Okay, thanks. Next up, let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hey, this is Don in Streeter, Illinois. How you doing?
I'm good, Don. Sure.
Hey, I got a question for you and a comment. First, I'll go with a comment. My brother's been a police officer for over about 25 years now, and he's 100% carry conceal. He always stated that, you know, that, like myself, I've never been arrested for anything, not even a traffic ticket. There shouldn't be any reason why I shouldn't be able to, because I shoot with him. And well, the only thing he ever said was somebody with a felony conviction or something like that,
problem.
And then have to go to a class and, you know, stay updated on your qualifications, and that's all he's ever said.
Most police officers are in favor of concealed.
Yeah. Well, the question I have for you was, Wednesday night I was listening to your program, and you had a comment right toward the end that you stated, that I'm going to paraphrase it because I can't remember exactly what you said, but anyway, it comes out something like this. You said that there's a battle brewing with the legislature, with the legislatures of our, you know, states and whatever, and possibly another battle. What did you mean by the other battle? I think I know what you meant, but I was just wondering, I'd rather hear it from you than just assume.
And the battle we were talking about was related directly to a concealed carry?
Yeah. Well, I think, I don't know. It sounded to me like it stretched a little bit further than that. But what I thought you were getting at was that there possibly, if the push comes to shove where they abolish the Second Amendment, try to take our firearms away from us, that there will be, you know, a battle over that, like a second civil war.
That's the battle. You know, it's something that you really don't like to talk about, but it's, you know, very possible. It was once said, if they come to take your guns, you better use it. It'll be the last time you ever use it. And, you know, I'm not an advocate of violence by any means, but you can't take away the rights of Americans. You know, we've got the Constitution. And I'm tired of seeing it chopped up and whittled away for the sake of a few. I really am. I've got time maybe for one more. I got about a minute or so. Lost it line. There you go. Just about a minute for you, okay?
Yeah. Hi, George.
Go.
Well, I was a teenager, and, teenage boys like to fight. My brother got in a fight, and also, of course, the whole neighborhood's around, and we're all watching this fight. Well, I didn't want to get in it, and so this guy got my brother down on the ground and had his neck in between his knees.
Crushing him.
No, crushing my brother.
Yeah, that. Crushing his head.
Right, and my brother started turning red and purple, And I'm like, he's stubborn. He's not going to give in. You're going to kill him.
Here comes the sister, right?
Here comes the sister, big sister. Womp, and I had 3-inch platforms on right on the side of this kid's head.
You could have put that sucker right through his head.
Oh, I know. I was afraid I killed him because he was not
You got to be careful. We'll be back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, we've been talking about time travelers, and one of the most wide known on this program, John Teeter, apparently a time traveler from the year 2034, who came back here, posted on websites, and lo and behold, his family actually has a real attorney named Larry Haber. This is an older interview, very appropriate today. Larry, can you tell us, first of all, your association with either John Teeter, the time traveler, or the family?
I was contacted by a friend of mine from law school a few years ago and said that he was looking for somebody that did some entertainment law work, which I do, and then explained to me the story that is probably pretty well known to the people that are listening right now. And I said, well, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, and I don't believe it. And he said, no, I'll give it a try. I really need some help with this thing. So I went ahead and took a couple of calls and have been involved with it for the last 3 years now.
Are you baffled, perplexed? It is indeed a strange story, is it not?
Baffled, perplexed, and everything in between, sure. I have no idea if any of this is real or not or true or not. I know that they believe it's real. The few times I've had direct contact with the family and the many times I've had it through my friend have led me to believe that these guys really think that everything they keep talking about is absolutely real, but I'm too far removed from it to really get a good handle on it.
Larry, have you met anybody face-to-face?
No, okay. I have not, except for my friend I haven't seen him in years. So I know the person that has made the contact with me, but not anybody from the family. Just a couple of phone conversations with John's mom, Kay, and that's all I've had.
Okay, but you still represent them, I assume.
I represent them, that's correct.
Okay, now I understand you have Kay on another line. She does not want to come on the program directly with her voice, but she will answer questions through you. So let me, first of all, ask you if Kay saw a John Teeter from the future, the future John Teeter.
Okay, let me ask.
Has Kay seen John Teeter from the future?
She's telling me that when he left in March of 2001, she hasn't seen the older version of him since then.
Since then.
Correct.
Is there a smaller version of John Teeter? And if so, how old is he right now?
There is, and he's about to turn 8 years old.
About to turn 8 years old. Has the 8-year-old John Teeter met the adult John Teeter from the future?
I'm glad I'm asking her that. I couldn't answer any of these things. Hold on. They were together for the 3 years when John was here. The future John was here in the past, I should say. It gets a little confusing.
Did her future son talk to her at all about the family, how long they would live, or anything personal like that?
Kay was pretty insistent that she said that at the time she said, absolutely not. I don't want to know any details of the future because she was just spooked her. So as far as I can tell from her right now, they have no idea about anything that took place in the future or will take place in the future.
Larry, how did you first come about and meet the John Teeter from the future? How did that all occur for her?
In April of 98, he visited them in Florida and stayed for a couple of months and came back in June and spent the next 3 years with them. But knew how to find him because obviously he knew where he was living back then.
Why did she believe this individual who would probably show up at their doorstep and say, "Hi, Mom, I'm John Teeter."
John, right.
Yeah.
Good one, because, again, that's the biggest one for me to try to figure out. Hold on. Good question. She says, to first meeting, she knew it was him, but it took her about a day to really accept it or figure it out that it was real. Or that it really could be real. I don't think she still was convinced that quickly, but she's telling me I'm trying to repeat the words. How can a mother not know her son, basically?
Even if he's much older.
Right, right.
Was she proud of him?
Basically terrified.
terrified of him. Why?
Terrified. I think it's for the same reason, not wanting to be on the phone now or get more involved than this way. Just when you get hit with something like that, she said, basically, I'm not that sophisticated a person, and to get hit with something like that, it was, you know, why would my son come back? What's wrong in the future? What's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to everybody, and so on. So it took her a while to get over the fear, you know, very afraid, very fearful, almost terrified, I think, from given the way her voice sounds.
Is she pretty well convinced that John went back to his own time era, or has he moved on to other time periods?
She doesn't personally believe he went anywhere else. He really didn't enjoy what he went to do the first time around, and she thinks that he probably would have stayed and not accepted going taking another assignment.
Okay, so if I understand you, she thinks that John Teeter from the future is still here in our time period.
No, is in his current time frame in the future.
She went back.
Didn't do any more time traveling, right?
Okay.
And that's part of the reason why he probably hasn't been back here.
Understand. There is a book that is being sold now. It's called John Teeter, A Time Traveler's Tale. It's a paperback. It's by John Teeter. I assume is written by the mother. Do you, Larry, as the attorney, do you have anything to do with that? Do you represent them on that at all?
Just in terms of getting the publishing, I mean, I can tell you that all I was responsible for was to make sure that the copyrights were filed correctly. The things really incidental to it, but had no other involvement with the book itself.
Self-published, or is there a big publisher behind it?
Self-published. No, self-published.
Okay. Is there anything else on the horizon with regards to this John Teeter story that you know of?
Well, I am aware of a movie. Kay had hired me, or actually continued to hire me, but asked me to... about a year ago, to take a look at making some type of video or film about the story, so that it would be more widely known than just what's out there now. And so, because I do entertainment work, I'm in Orlando and do work with a lot of video companies. One of those companies is working on a film. I have no idea what stage they're at. They told me that they've spent some time with some phone interviews, and they were going to put something together for release this year. But I haven't seen anything or really don't know much more about it other than that.
I'm sure the family wishes to remain somewhat anonymous. So they moved from Florida to someplace in the Midwest, I understand?
Nebraska, from what I understand. But that's just what they're telling me. I couldn't tell you if that's really where they're calling from. When they call me, it's no caller ID.
Okay. So she is relatively confidential still, I assume.
Correct. And wants to remain that way. That's the problem. I've probably only talked to her 3-4 times out of the whole couple of year period. And most of it is just through either emails or through a friend of mine that relays messages.
Well, there are a couple of possibilities, Larry, as you know, and as you mentioned at the outset. Either it is a true story that there is indeed time traveling going on in the future, and that some of these individuals, including John Teeter, have come back into our time period to warn us about some events. Or this may be one of the most methodically thought out hoaxes I've ever heard of, in that most hoaxes occur and they go away. This thing, it seems to be well planned and well thought out as an event.
Yeah, and it's funny for me because I'm so incidental to it. I've got a full law practice and I do a whole bunch of other things, and I don't even have much time to spend on the internet to even look at it. And then when it pops up, I get all wrapped up in it again for a day or two, and then it goes away for a while, and then it comes back again.
It's
very, very interesting for me, too.
You may be the only attorney to represent a family or a time traveler from the future.
And I am very interested in the sciences and the possibility of that, so I keep going along, and hopefully I'll find out, too, someday.
You're not getting paid in $2,036, dollars, are you?
No. At least that part of it's current.
So
but again, I'm not doing a whole lot of work. That's why I don't really get that involved with it on a day-to-day basis. It's usually just some quick questions, or how do we clear this, or do you know somebody that can produce this kind of thing. So I really do very minimal work. My involvement with stuff like this and interview, and even I got interviewed for a documentary that was out that was produced last year, that takes up a lot more of the time than anything I've ever billed for, but it's been fun.
In your entire law practice career, is this got to be one of the strangest cases you've ever had?
This is the best. That's why I enjoy doing it. It's absolutely fun.
What a bizarre story, UFO Phil.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid. But as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century. Always welcome here on my radio. Call in with your space transmitter or your telephone. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast.
Ah, for Kara Schoberg, Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Gina Salvati, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.